ॐ मुकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। ऐ सल्यूट् कृष्ण दि एम्बोडिमेण्ट् आफ् सुप्रीम् ब्लिस् बै हूस् ग्रेस् द लेम् स्केल् माउण्टेन्स् and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita. We are studying the sixth chapter of the Gita. The name of the chapter is Dhyana. Please remember that Krishna is instructing meditation, not in the shrine, not in the chapel, not in the cave, not in the forest, not in the secluded place. He is giving instruction on meditation in a battlefield, where Arjuna was facing 11 million enemies. That is the best place, that is the right time to give instruction about meditation. It is very symbolic. Human life is full of struggles. If you want to win in this battle of life, you must practice meditation. I remember I met a Swami. He went for a surgery. When he was taken to the operation room, he said to the doctor, "Doctor, when you will just start to give me anesthesia, please give me 5 minutes time. As you need preparation for your surgery, I need also preparation for my mental readiness." Just see, in the operation theater, lying down on the operation table, that monk is thinking of the self, of the Atman. He is withdrawing his mind from the body and the senses. I am the Atman, I am neither the body. Or perhaps he was thinking deeply about his chosen ideal. Holding his mind on his chosen ideal, he is surrendering himself in the hands of the doctors. Meditation gives tremendous strength and poise and peace. Krishna already mentioned, "Yogo bhavati dukkha." Listen, Arjuna, I tell you the truth. This yoga, this practicing meditation, has a power to destroy dukkha, suffering, pain, misery. Practice meditation. Why? Why should I practice meditation? Krishna says, "Nirvanam paramam shantim odigacchati." You will attain nirvana, liberation. Paramam shantim, supreme bliss and bliss. Tonight Krishna will tell us that this meditation will bring bliss to us. Yada biniyatam chittam, verse 18. Yada biniyatam chittam atmanni vavatishthate nispriya sarvakamibho yukta ittuchati tada. When the well-controlled mind rests in the self alone, free from longing for objects, then is one said to have attained yoga. Yada biniyatam chit, that is a beautiful word. Biniyatam chittam, controlled mind. Atmaniva abodhishthate, when it settles, dwells on the self, indwelling self alone, on the Atman. Nispriha sarva kamebhyo, ispriha, he becomes desireless from all desires, from all worldly objects. Yukta, remember that person is unified with the self, with the Atman. He is a yogi. Shangyata man, controlled mind. Sri Ramakrishna gave many illustrations in that connection. Do you know what is called controlled mind? It is one-pointed mind, toilo dharavat. If you pour oil in the cooking vessel, it has an uninterrupted flow. meditation is just like an uninterrupted flow of oil. Sri Ramakrishna was not satisfied with that one illustration only. He gave various illustrations to impress the devotees so that they may not forget real concentration, how to concentrate. Then he said, listen to a story. There's a beautiful story about Billa Mangal in the Bhaktamal, a book dedicated, describe the lives of the devotees of God. Billa Mangal was a Brahmin boy. His father died, so he performed that ritual. And at night time, he had a mistress who used to live on the other side of the river. At night time, he carried the food for that mistress. And while walking through the street, he stumbled in the evening, it was night, he stumbled on a holy man who was meditating under a tree. The holy man said, you have no eyes, don't you see I am meditating here? Billa Mangal replied, thinking of a girl, I forgot space, time and causation. Oh holy man, what type of concentration you have? Thinking of the Lord, you have not yet forgot your body idea. Then he described his own concentration. You know, when I used to start my meditation, first I used to wash my mind. As you people wash your hands with soap and you think that all dirt are gone. So I used to wash my mind first. And I used to think that all dirt and rose are gone. That means all rajas and tamas are gone. Only pure shatta, that light is within my heart. And then I shall set, I would place my chosen ideal on that illumined spot in my mind. Heart to meditate. Ramakrishna said, dhyan korbe mane bane kone. You will not have to go to the forest. You will not have to go to the cave of the mountains. Mane, in the inner chamber of your mind. Bane means secluded place. Kone, in the corner of your room. Practice meditation. Ishwari shat vastu kina? Shat. Kina nitya vastu, ashab ashat. Kina anitya. Ehi bichar korte korte, anitya vastu thike, man thike tag korte. Then he said, before you, when you sit for meditation, don't try to merge immediately. First, keep your mind awake and watch what type of waves are coming in the mind. At that time, discriminate what is real, what is unreal. Give up the unreal things and hold the real things. Sometimes he used to ask the devotees to meditate on the chosen ideal, that is, on personal God. You know, the feet of your chosen ideal are very soft and tender. Tie the feet of your beloved with a silken thread, and wherever he goes, let your mind go there. Means, all the time you are following your chosen ideal. Dhyan korbar shomoy, tate magnote hoy, upor upor bhasle ki hoy? When you sit for meditation, try to merge. You will not die. Don't float. Don't stay in the surface plane of your mind. Then he sang a song. Dub, dub, dub. Dub de re mon kali mole. Ridhi ratna kare ragat jale. Ratna karnai shunno kokhon. Ducha dube dhanna mele. Kamadi chay kumbhir ache. Ahar lobe shadai chale. Tumi bibi khuldi gai meke jao. Chobe na tar gandho pele. It is a beautiful mystical song of Ram Prasad. I shall translate this song for you. Dub de re mon kali bole, O my mind, dive deep chanting the name of the Lord. Ridhi ratna kare ragat jale, where is that ocean? That ocean is your mind. That mind is the lake. Go with it. a diver dives, he may fail a few times. That does not mean the bottom of the ocean is pearl-less. The pearls are there. Many times you may be unsuccessful. It does not matter. That does not mean the pearls are not there. Dive again and again, again and again, again and again. You will get the pearls, gems, jewels. They are at the bottom of the ocean. Tumi dam shamarthe ak dube jao kulo kundalinir kule. When the divers dive, what do they do? They take long breath so that they can survive. You see, it is not like your American divers with an oxygen pipe at your back. I saw in Disneyland, in SeaWorld, those people, those who, inside the water, those who show their ballet. I saw ballet dance inside the water with sea animals. So they have, all girls have oxygen pipe at their back. So he said, take long breath, hold it, and then merge at the bottom of the Kula Kundalini, at the bottom plane, that is the source of energy, at the bottom of your backbone, where there is primordial energy. Dive there. জ্ঞান সমুদ্রের মাঝেরে মন শক্তি রূপে মুক্তা ফলে তুমি ভক্তি করে কুড়ায় ভাবে শিব যুক্তি মত চাইলে শক্তি রূপা মুক্তা. মুক্তা মিন্স জেমস, পার্লস. শক্তি মিন্স এনার্জি. দিস এনার্জি উইল কাম টু ইউ. তুমি ভক্তি করে কুড়ায় পাবে অ্যান্ড কালেক্ট দোজ জেমস, জুয়েলস মিন্স শক্তি, পাওয়ার, উইথ লাভ, উইথ ডিভোশন. Then you will get Shiva. You will realize your own self, the Atman. Remember, there are six enemies there. Six crocodiles, alligators are always in the ocean. Those six alligators are Kama Dichhaya Kumbhirache. Kama, lust, anger, jealousy, ego, calm, greed and delusion. These are the six enemies. They can swallow you. They are like alligators. বিবি খুল দি গায়ে মেখে যাও ছোবে না তার গন্ধ ফেলে. বাট ইফ ইউর বডি ইজ বিসমিয়ার্ড উইথ দি টার্মেরিক, দি ক্রোকোডাইল উইল নট ইট ইউ. সো বিবি খুল দি, লেট ডিসক্রিমিনেশন বি ইউর টার্মেরিক অল ওভার দি বডি, সো দ্যাট দি সিক্স অ্যালিগেটার্স উইল নেভার টাচ ইউ. রতন মাণিক্য কত পড়ে আছে সেই জলে, রামপ্রসাদ বলে ঝম্প দিলে মিলবে রতন ফলে ফলে. All gems, jewels, so much precious things are there. If you dive again and again, you will get them, says Ramprasad, a famous mystic. Then Sri Ramakrishna said, you see, he is talking about Vinyatam Chittam, controlled mind. How to get that control over the mind? Through meditation and concentration. He said, you know, when you meditate, you think that I am leaving this world, this space-time causation. I am in that infinite realm. I am floating in the ocean of Satchidananda. Sri Ramakrishna was not happy saying that type of abstract instruction. He said, listen, once upon a time there was a hunter. He was hunting a bird. His concentration was so deep that a bridal procession was passing by. He did not hear, he did not see that bridal procession. On another occasion, a man was fishing near a lake and a passerby asked him, could you tell me in which direction could I get, could you tell me the house of such and such person? That angler, that fisherman who was catching fish by a fishing rod, his mind was on the float. His float was moving. He could not talk to that passerby. When he caught the fish, he called the passerby and said, that person's house in such and such place. The Passerby asked, "Why did you not tell me early?" "Well, my mind was on the float. I can't help." This type of concentration is necessary. Sri Ramakrishna is telling these stories, parables, so that you may not forget. Gobirdhane indri shab kaj bandh hoye jay. Mon bohirmukh theke, bohirmukhe thake na. Jeno bar barite kotap kapat porlo. His analogy is so apt. Do you know, in deep meditation, mind does not go out through the sense organs. As if somebody closed the door of the main gate. So your mind will be always within the house. So in deep meditation, mind moves within. It does not go out through the senses. Most of the people's mind goes through the eyes. You will notice it. 80% mind goes through the eyes. You will see, sitting here, meditating in the office, friend, I talk this thing, home, food, husband, wife, children, this problem, that problem. You are visualizing through the eyes, closing your eyes. That means your mind is going through the senses to the external world. Yogir mon sarvada ishwaratei thake, sarvadai atmastha, chokku phel phele, dekhlei bujha jay. The mind of the yogi is just like the eyes. The eyes of the yogi are like the eyes of a bird, mother bird, who is hatching her eggs. Her whole mind is drawn toward the eggs, but she is looking outside. Indifferent look, vacant look. You may see that bird is watching outside, but actually it is indrawn. Sri Ramakrishna said that is yogi's eyes. He is watching the world, people, but his mind always within that self, within the atma. Yada biniyatam chittam atmaniva avatishthate nispriho sarvo kamebhyo yukta ityuchyate tada yukta. Mind is united with God, not with the worldly objects, not with luxury. This man wrote a beautiful commentary about that. Just imagine what would happen if all the cars in a city were to roll out of their garages and roar out onto every road that stops at top speed without a driver, without obeying signals or traffic rules. There would be hundreds of accidents. This is just what is happening today. When people go about driven by their senses, controlled by their self-will, instead of sitting in the driver's seat, directing their body, senses, and mind. I admire the ease with which the good driver drives. It is almost as though he has eyes in the back of his head. In order to master the art of living, we too need eyes in the back of our heads, to be able to look at our behavior in the past and correct ourselves wherever we made mistakes. The person who has learned in this way to respect the freedom of all, who has learned never to manipulate others, never to attack others, has a driver's license which is valid always. This is the sign of a person established in himself. He does not collide with those who are angry, but goes about with love and respect for others, no matter what the circumstances. Sarva kamebhyo nispriha. That is a beautiful word. Nispriha. Mind, the human mind is attached to the worldly objects. It has outgoing tendencies. It needs two things to control the mind. Krishna and Patanjali both mention those two disciplines, dispassion and practice. Dispassion, withdrawing the mind from the worldly objects. It has four stages. The first stage is called yatomana. I'm trying utmost to stop my bad habits. I'm trying to withdraw my mind from the worldly things. Second, in the second stage, I am to some extent successful to eradicate my bad habits. But still one or two desires I have. So I am trying to control those few ones which are left. In the third stage, I control all my desires. But I have some curiosity. Time to time my mind goes outside and wants to see what is going on. Curiosity. In the fourth stage, that curiosity is also gone. So mind remains in a niruddha stage. You see, mind becomes functionless if you do not feed the mind. What is the food of the mind? Desires. Mind loves desires. That is the food of the mind. We open, when newspaper comes, I check, you know, all this advertisement. That Sears section, Target, all these sections I watch. Their advertisements, you can check what desires you have. Doll jeans, famous bar, they have their sections, you see. You can check if you have any desire left or not. Sri Ramakrishna said, when mind becomes controlled, it becomes just like a dry matchbox. Simply one rub, immediately there will be a spark of light. But if the matchbox is wet, you rub, chuck, it makes sound. Light does not come, spark does not come. See, most of the people's mind are soaked with worldly desires. So it has no strength. It is not dry. It does not get inspiration. If you talk about Sri Ramakrishna, a little thing about God, immediately he will be in samadhi. But what does it mean? That mind says, mind is dry. That powder is so powerful. Every single touch will give you a spark. Next verse. Yatha dipo nibatastho ningati supama smrita yogino yata chittaisa junjato yogamatmanaha. It's a beautiful verse. As a lamp in a windless place does not flicker. That is the figure used for the disciplined mind of a yogi, practicing concentration on the self. Sri Ramakrishna said, during my initial period of my spiritual life, I used to imbibe various ideas. I used to impose various symbols for my meditation. I used to think a lamp, the flame of a lamp, unflickering flame of a lamp in a windless place. And I used to watch the flame. I told you that according to Hindu ritual, one should keep that Jag Pradeep, sacrificial fire, on all the time. It's just like your Olympic game. You see, that lamp should be always there. So, they keep an earthen jar. And inside that earthen jar, they put an oil lamp. There is a wick, and they feed with that wick with oil or ghee, clarified butter. And that light is always on. So long that ritual continues, that lamp must be on. Otherwise, it is very inauspicious. So Sri Ramakrishna imbibed this symbol for his meditation. You know, this lamp analogy we find in many religious traditions. In many scriptures, in Christian Bible, we find the Virgin and the Lamb. Here we find Krishna is describing the oil lamp. The oil of the lamp is the grace of bhakti, which is symbolic. The oil of the lamp is the grace of bhakti. The lamp is filled with this oil. That oil is akin to devotion. The flame is fostered by the air current. Without air, the lamp will be extinguished. So air is necessary. That air is ardent and burning love for God. The wick of the light is constituted by self-control. Self-control brings steadiness in the mind. So that wick is is considered to be the self-control, great virtue. Of what base does the oil stand? It stands in the mind which has attained dispassion and so will not allow any leakage of oil. You see, if there is any hole in that oil lamp, the oil, whole oil will go out and the lamp will be extinguished, will go out. This light is well protected against the force of wind that might blow it out. It is a glass case, so to say. What constitutes this protection? The knowledge is to be protected against likes and dislikes and aversions which soil the mind. This will, if not protected against, blow away the light. So the knowledge is protected against the desires and aversions which may tear the mind. So knowledge protects the light. The knowledge represents the glass case. How is the light itself lit up? It is lit up by a light born of the even continuing concentration and meditation. This in fact forms the Samyak Darshana, the clearest knowledge or the new and correct insight. That light is lit through friction. So in meditation also, we are concentrating again and again on our chosen ideal, on the self. And thus, we get connection with that self-luminous Atman. Please remember, mind has no light. Intellect has no light. The light is only in the Atman, in the self, in Brahman, that consciousness. So I am trying to get the connection. I am failing again and again, but I am trying to touch it. The moment you touch it, immediately it will be light. Your whole mind, body, organism will be lighted. You will be illumined. We are hitting, you see, I am concentrating on the body, on the senses, on the mind, on the external objects. But I am not touching the self on the Atman. The moment I touch it, my mind becomes illumined. It takes time. Here is an iron rod you put into the fire and blow it with the bellows. As soon as you put it, it will never be red. You will have to keep some time and you will have to blow that bellows. After 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, you see that whole iron rod has become red. So this mind becomes red if you constantly connect it with the Lord. It becomes illumined. It becomes tremendous power. Mind is weak. Mind is full of disease. Mind is feeling insecure. That means you are not touching that light. Look, you know, if you really think these verses of the Gita, it will open your mind, your understanding. But why am I weak? Because I am not touching that light. Buddha also talked about this kind of light when that was the farewell address of Buddha. Ananda came to him and said, Master, after your death, who will teach us? My message, the truth which I propagated, will take the position of the teacher. I am now grown old, O Ananda, and full of years. My journey is drawing to its close. I have reached the sum of my days. I am turning 80 years of age. Just as a worn-out cart cannot be made to move along without much difficulty, so the body of the Tathagata can only be kept going with much additional care. It is only Ananda when the Tathagata, ceasing to attain to any outward thing, becomes plunged in that devout meditation of heart which is concerned with no bodily object. It is only then that the body of the Tathagata is at ease. Therefore, Ananda, be ye lamps unto yourselves, rely on yourselves, and do not rely on external help. Hold fast to the truth as a lamp. Seek salvation alone in the truth. Look not for assistance to any one besides yourself. And how, Ananda, can a brother be a lamp unto himself? Rely on himself only, and not on any external help. Holding fast to the truth as his lamp, and seeking salvation in the truth alone, looking not for assistance to anyone besides himself. those who either now or after I am dead shall be lambs unto themselves, rely upon themselves only, and not relying upon any external help, but holding fast to the truth as their lamp, and seeking their salvation in the truth alone, and shall not look for assistance to anyone besides themselves. It is they, Ananda, among my bhikkhus, who shall reach the very topmost height, but they must be anxious to learn. That is the departing address of Buddha. He also talked about that lamp. The next verse. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatman atmanam paishan atmani tushyati. That in which the mind restrained by the practice of concentration rests quiescent, that in which seeing the self through the self, one rejoices in one's own self. By yatra uparamate chittam, the mind, practicing yoga stops functioning. At that time, he sees the self. He experiences his own Atman, tushyati, and becomes blissful. Yatra uparamate chittam. Swami Turiyananda used to say, if you do not give food to your body, what will happen? Your body will be weak day by day. At last a time will come when you will not be able to move even, because body is weak. Similarly, mind also eats. If you do not feed the mind also will be weak. You see, mind wants worldly things, it relishes. General mind, the mind which is full of rajas and tamas, it needs excitement, it needs various kinds of desires to survive. Kama sankalpa vichikitsa shraddha shraddha bhidhi hi si. Like this way, there is a, what is mind? Sarvam manaiva. Kama, desire. Sankalpa, resolution. Shraddha, faith. Lack of faith. Then vidhi, fear. All these things together constitute the mind. So if you do not feed these things to the mind will be weak. So when my mind wants to eat something, if you do not give that thing to the mind will say, well, what to do? This man is not good. I am expressing my desire, but he does not listen. That means you have mastery over the mind. You have control over the mind. You can check your mind. You can direct your mind. That means you have power. Most of the people are carried away. They are the slaves of the mind. Rajas and tamas create disease in the mind. Sattva brings health. Sattva purifies the mind. So, conquer your tamas by rajas. Tamas means laziness, dullness, inertia. Conquer that inertia by rajas, activity. Conquer your activity by sattva, calmness. Then you will get this samadhi. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham. Mind will be functionless. But what shall I show me? What shall I gain in that state? What shall I experience? You will experience samprajnata samadhi. Mind has five stages of the mind. First, kshipta, restless. Second, vikshipta. That means distracted. Oh no, first stage is mudha. Mudha means dull, sleepy mind. Second is kshipta, restless. Third stage is vikshipta, distracted. Sometimes it goes to God, sometimes on worldly things. Next stage is ekagra. Ekagra means concentrated mind. And the fifth stage is niruddha. Niruddha does not mean mind is gone, is dead. Mind is there, but it has no waves. It has no distractions. That is called niruddha mind. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. What is yoga? controlling the waves, thought waves, is called yoga. Well, if I control the thought waves, what shall I gain? Purusha. You will experience the self. You will experience your own Atman. Well, if I experience the Atman, what shall I gain? Tushyati. Tremendous satisfaction will come within you. Contentment, bliss will cover your whole being. What type of joy comes to an illumined soul? Shankara mentions in his Grace Jewel of Discrimination, realizing at a blessed moment the supreme truth through the above instruction of the Guru, the authority of the scriptures and his own reasoning, with his senses quieted and the mind concentrated, the disciple became immovable in form and perfectly established in the Atman. Concentrating the mind for some time on the Supreme Brahman, he rose and out of supreme bliss spoke as follows. My mind has vanished and all its activities are melted by realizing the identity of the Self and Brahman. I do not know either this or not this, nor what or how much the boundless bliss of Samadhi is. The majesty of the ocean of Supreme Brahman, replete with the swell of the nectar-like bliss of the Self, is verily impossible to express in speech, nor can it be conceived by the mind in an infinitesimal fraction, of which my mind melted like a hailstone getting merged in the ocean and is now satisfied with the essence of bliss. Where is the universe gone? By whom is it removed? And where is it merged? It was just now seen by me. And has it ceased to exist? It is passing strange. In the ocean of Brahman, filled with the nectar of absolute bliss, what is to be shunned and what accepted? What is other than oneself and what different? I neither see nor hear nor know anything in this. I simply exist as the Self, the eternal bliss, distinct from everything else. In this way, this illumined soul described what happened after illumination. Tushyati. Next verse. Sukham attantikam yattat buddhi grajyam atindriyam vetti yatra na chaivayam sthitas chaloti tatvataha. That in which one knows the boundless joy beyond the reach of the senses and grasped only by the understanding, that in which being established, one never departs from reality. Atyantikam, atindriyam, buddhigrajyam, sukham. Atyantikam means boundless bliss. Atindriyam, transcendental. Swami, how can a person experience this transcendental bliss? This bliss is experienced only by the intellect without the help of the senses, mind that. You get joy, how? Through the tongue, through the ears, through the eyes, you get joy, through touch. Your joy, bliss is coming through the senses, through the channel of the sense doors. But this person's bliss is coming without the senses, without the objects. He himself is the object. This is the difference between divine, the bliss of Samadhi and the bliss of the world. You see, the bliss which comes through the senses are not infinite, very little, because the senses have limitations. But when this intellect becomes unified with the Atman, it gets boundless bliss. Let me give an example. Here is a big whale. You got it from the ocean. Killer whale. And you dug a place near the ocean, like a small tank or reservoir, and you keep it there so that the whale can survive. The whale is very uncomfortable because he is not accustomed to stay in a small place. 4,000 pounds, that big killer whale, is not supposed to stay in that small place. So he was, rubbing his body, all these four sides, that tiny little place, and splashing water. All of a sudden, a huge tidal wave came and connected that small reservoir which you made near the ocean, and the ocean acquired it, you know, took it over, and it became one with the ocean. The whale then ran into the ocean and again started to move in that boundless ocean. So this finite soul, this Atman, this individual soul, when it touches that infinite Brahman, it becomes that whale who is now, who was bound temporarily, but becomes free when he merges again into the ocean, when he jumps into the ocean again. So we come from the ocean in a tiny little body-mind organism. We go back to the ocean. That is our real nature. That is our real home. All of us will go there, either today or tomorrow. Ki rokom ananda hai. Niruddha mane atma darshan. Phal ananda. Attantikam sukham. That whale is so happy. If a caged bird gets released from the cage, becomes happy. It flies through the space, boundless space. So this individual soul becomes happy when it transcends this body, mind, organism. This is a cage of flesh and bone. When we transcend the body idea, we experience the bliss of freedom, bliss of liberation. Samadhi nirdhutamalasya chitasya chitasya nivishitasya atmanijat sukham bhavet. Na shakyati varnayitum gira tada sada swayam tadanta karine na grichati. The scripture says, the commentator says, it is almost impossible to express the bliss of illumination, because ordinary people have no experience of that bliss. You have experience of bliss which comes through the senses. But sense, without senses, without external objects, how one can have bliss? Ordinary people have no experience. So if an illumined soul tells you, we won't believe it. Believe it means you won't understand it. Sri Ramakrishna tried. One day Sri Ramakrishna said, M laughed. Do you know, after illumination, every pore becomes a sex point. People get joy only one place, and his every pore becomes sex point. He gets so much joy, unbelievable. Sri Aim laughed and laughed and laughed, hearing that expression of Sri Ramakrishna will have to explain that how much joy I get in Samadhi. Aim laughed, hearing that analogy of Sri Ramakrishna. Anyhow, one of the obstacles of Nirvikalpa Samadhi is called a Rasashad. Sometimes some spiritual aspirants get a little joy in deep meditation. And at that time he thinks, oh, I made it. Oh, so much joy. I got deep meditation. I saw my chosen ideal in luminous form. Oof, I transcended the space-time causation. 2 hours passed, I did not know it. He's so happy. Gaudapada says that is an obstacle. That joy is an obstacle. What do you mean, Swami, that joy is an obstacle? I got some joy in meditation and you say it is an obstacle? It is an obstacle to Nirvikalpa Samadhi, higher Samadhi. You attain lower Samadhi. Don't stop there. If you stop there, you won't be able to go to the next. Nas swadai sukham tatra nishanga prajna bhavet. Swastham shantam sa nibbanam akaitham sukham uttamam. This shuk, this bliss, is indescribable. Mukha swadunava. Narada says, if you give a sumptuous feast to a dumb person and ask, how do you enjoy this food? That person will only move his lips because he cannot express. Seeing his gesture and posture, seeing his eyes, you will have to guess that how much joy he got from your food. Atmananda, Brahmananda is also like that, indescribable. All right, you can ask me questions. Ramakrishna did not say anything Gita, but a professor of Calcutta University wrote 2 volumes like that, Gita Tattva Sri Ramakrishna. he took the passages of Gita and showed how Sri Ramakrishna experienced it. Two volumes. It is an interesting book. I read sometimes that taking a verse, he put a verse of the Gita there and he collected all the teachings from the great master, from the gospel, from different sayings of Sri Ramakrishna and tried to show that how much Sri Ramakrishna experienced this Gita. Sri Ramakrishna, once I think it was Acharya Vinoba Bhave, that Gandhi's disciple, said that I read 50 commentaries on the Gita, but the best commentary was narrated by Ramakrishna. Ramakrishna said, do you know what is Gita? Repeat 10 times. Gita, 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 Gita. If you say Gita, Gita, it becomes Tagi, Tagi, Tagi. That means renounce, renounce, renounce. Gita, Tagi, Tagi means Tag Karo, renounce, renounce, renounce. I read 50 commentaries on the Gita, but the best commentary has been described by Ramakrishna. Gita, 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 Gita. Gita, if you repeat 10 times, it becomes Tagi, 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 Tagi. No, some places Sri Ramakrishna mentioned about Gita. Some people asked, could you tell me what happens after death? Sri Ramakrishna said, well, Gita said this. I started to collect some verses of the Gita, that which verse was favorite to whom. Swami Turiyananda, Swami Brahmananda, Swami Vivekananda, all these direct disciples, they have some favorite verses of the Gita. I started to collect, I have a collection. Swamiji's favorite verses. Then, Yehiva Turjita Samyaji Sam Yehiva Turjita Sargoji Sam Samyastitang Mana Nirdashanghi Param Brahma Tasmat Brahmanite Sthitaha. In this way, I memorized those verses. Which one is favorite to whom? Very interesting. Masato ma sadgamaya. Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrittor ma amritam gamaya, avir avir ma yedhi, rudrayate dakshinam mukham, tinamam pahi nityam, om shanti shanti shantihi. Lead us from the unreal to the real, lead us from darkness to light, lead us from death to immortality, light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.